light or darkness. Light or darkness. Light or darkness. Subtitle could be cleansed and forgiven. But you may be seated. Light or darkness. Cleansed and forgiven. Cleansed and forgiven. Light or darkness. You know, in life, you and I often come to a fork in the road, decisions that we have to make on just basic things, just general things. Like, for instance, those of you who work, you may have to make a decision on your job. Do I want to keep this present job, but there's a posting for another job, so do I apply for that job? Or maybe you're trying to decide, am I going to leave this company and go to another company? Decisions that we have to make. For some of you, for a few of you, you're trying to decide, let's see, am I going to retire at the age of 62 or 65? My daddy, he's with the Lord. Now, my dad, when he got close to 62, he said, I'm coming out at 62. I may not live to be 65. So my dad retired at 62. He worked all his life. For some of us, Tanya and I and Ariana and the Lowe's and some other of you all are in this boat now, and some of you all have been in this boat. You're trying to decide with your young one, hey, what school, where can we, we're praying that the Lord would open up some doors and get some money, some scholarships money. So what school is a good fit for you? You're trying to decide what school. And for some of you, you're trying to decide what major, what am I going to major in? What do I want to do in my life? Just decisions. Many decisions. Some of you, maybe if you're living in an apartment, you might say, I've been saving up my money and I'm trying to decide I want to go buy a house. And so I want to try to decide which part of town do I want to live in. Decisions, just general decisions. But also, saints, there's another type of decisions that you and I make on the regular. We do it routinely. And that's those decisions, whether we're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Whether you're going to walk in the light or walk in darkness. Whether you're going to follow the flesh, the world, and the devil, or whether you're going to follow the word of God. You and I, and routinely, those decisions you're making between light and darkness, it really reveals really who you are. Because we can say all kind of things out of our mouth, but really, it's the fruit of your life, the fruit of my life, that really determines if you're walking in the light or if you're walking in the darkness. So this morning, the question on the floor is, are you walking in the light or are you walking in darkness? And really, beloved, as we go through 1 John, really throughout this book, it keeps that before us that, hey, either you're with the Lord or you're not with the Lord. It's not really any in between. It's not any gray area. You're either with him or not with him. And so he starts out in verse 5. Listen to verse 5 of 1 John. He says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So saints, here's a message. Here's a message. I got to do better on my horn blowing, but that's the message. Here's the message. God is light. He is light. He is not, he doesn't contain light. He's not candle-like light. No, God is light. John said, there it is. God is light. And then he really brings it home. He said, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's not like God is 99.9999% light and 0.00001% darkness. No, John said, in God, he is light and there is no darkness at all. Brother James says this way in James 1:17. He said, every good thing given and every perfect gift from above coming down from the Father of lights. Talking about God, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Light and darkness. So today's text, saints, if you're taking notes, today's text, light refers to knowledge. Light refers to biblical truth. Light refers to moral purity and holiness. Light, again, refers to biblical truth. truth of God's word. It refers to knowledge, light. When we use the word light in from today's text and in today's sermon, we're going to talk about the truth, God's truth. We're going to talk about moral purity. We're talking about holiness. Whereas darkness is the opposite. Darkness is error. It's lies. It's heresy and sin. Darkness, again, it's error, it's lies, it's heresy, it's sin. So if you're walking in darkness, that's synonymous with living in sin. S-I-N. Yeah, we still use that word at this church. Will you? Sin, S-I-N. But walking in the light, that's living holy. So are you in the light or are you in the darkness? Again, God is light. God is holy, and God is the truth. Jesus says this way in John chapter 8, verse 12, Brother Jim. Jesus said this way. Jesus said, I am. And Jesus said, you know, of course, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, me and the Father, we're one. And so Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So if you're walking in darkness, you're not following Jesus. If that's your habitual lifestyle, we're not saying, and this text is going to bring it out. We're not saying, kind of as Deacon Beasley talked this morning, we're not saying, you know, you're perfect. You never, no, this is not the message. This is not the message of John. It's not my message this morning. But he's talking about, if your life is more in darkness than in light, you're not following Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you're following me, you're going to be walking in light and not in darkness. Matter of fact, verse 6, John said it very clear. John said, if you say you have fellowship with him, you have fellowship with God. If you say you have fellowship with the Lord, Minister Bray, it's so good to have Minister Bray back with us. See, I thank God for successful hip surgery. So good to have Brother Bray back with us this morning. He said, if we have fellowship with him, if you say you have fellowship with him, with the Lord, and walk in darkness, John said, we lie and do not practice the truth. So you can say all you want to. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. You can say all that all you want to. But if you're walking in darkness, John says, and I'm saying, you lying. You lying. John is very matter-of-factly in this letter that the Holy Spirit had him write to us. He said, hey, so if you say you're walking in darkness, but you say you know Jesus, John said, you lying. You lying somewhere. You lying somewhere. John, he's very clear. He doesn't leave any wiggle room. Check this out. It's much more fun. See, I've walked in darkness, and now I thank God I'm striving to walk in the light and stay in the light. It's much more fun to walk in the light than in the dark. It is. Believe me, it is. Just in a natural sense, if you ever travel and, you know, you might be at a hotel or maybe if you're at a friend's house or something and you're in a foreign room, foreign bedroom, and it's the middle of the night, you might get thirsty or you might need to go to the restroom or something. You get up and you don't want to disturb other folks. So you don't turn on no light. And so you bumbling around. You don't know where you're going. You're bumping into stuff because you're in the darkness. And if you're not careful, you bump that toe or something, you may say something that's right from the darkness. Give me some light. Turn some light on. I want to see where I'm going. I want to at least see where I'm going. We, as we follow Christ, we walk in the light. But the false prophets and the false teachers during the days of John and also during our days now, they want you to believe that they're walking in the light. But they are really walking in darkness. Here's a few questions, because you might even be wondering, am I in the light or am I in the darkness? You know, because we can self-deceive ourselves. Here's a few questions. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is just a little quiz for your self-check this morning to see if you're in the light or if you're in the darkness. If it takes you forever to forgive someone, you might be walking in darkness. If you have a hard time, if you don't have any love for the brethren, I'm talking about all the brethren. This minister Terman talked about this morning. If you don't have a love for the brethren, you might be walking in darkness. John himself says a little later in this book, he said, and Brother Steve prayed earlier, he said, if you say you love God whom you've never seen, but don't love your brother who you see every day, he basically said, you lying. If you don't have a hunger and a thirst for Jesus, you might be walking in darkness. If you don't really have make time for what we call the spiritual disciplines, you know, reading your Bible, praying, talking to others about Jesus, you know, just the basic stuff. If you don't make time for that, you just might be walking in darkness. If coming to church is like a chore or just drudgery, you just might be walking in darkness. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I could go on and on and list some other things, but are you in light? Are you walking in the light or are you walking in darkness? That's the question this morning. Are you in the light or are you in darkness? If you're in darkness, Christ has come out of darkness and come into the marvelous light. I thank God that he brought me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. It's a marvelous light. I like it on this side better than over on the other side. And listen, beloved, as a Christian, if we're not careful, we can begin to hang out in darkness more than we should hang out in darkness. Look at verse 7. He said, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have, because see, it's benefits to walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, we just sang about it, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a minute. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me read that again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's some benefits. There are many benefits, but here's two right out of this one verse for walking in the light. Here's a benefit if you're taking notes. First, if you're walking in the light, that means you have fellowship with the Lord. I say, if you're walking in the light, that means you have fellowship with the Lord. Let me say that one more time. If you're walking in the light, that means you have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Nothing better than that than to have fellowship with the creator of the whole universe. Nothing better than to have fellowship with the one who woke us up this morning. Nothing better than to have fellowship with the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Nothing better than to have fellowship with the one who knows all things. Nothing better than to have fellowship with the one who has all power. Nothing better than to have fellowship with the one who indeed is everywhere all at the same time. I can't think of anybody else I'd rather have fellowship with than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So a benefit of being in the light is we have fellowship with God. Let that soak in for a moment. I have fellowship with my creator. I have fellowship with the one who's in control of all things. So that means in a very practical way, as we walk through this thing called life, even though sometimes, you know, just in our humanness and our fleshness, we kind of lose this sight. But if I got fellowship with the one who's in control of all things, no matter what might happen to me or to my family or to this church or to anybody I know, I don't have to get too stressed out or worried about it, because I got fellowship. I got audience. I got a relationship with the one who's in control of all this stuff. I got fellowship with the one who told me that he's the one who causes all things to work together for the good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. I got fellowship with the one who Joseph said, our brothers, y'all sold me into slavery. What y'all meant for evil, God turned that thing around for good. I got fellowship with him. You got fellowship with him if you're walking in the light. So that's a great benefit. We have fellowship with God. Another benefit, we have fellowship one with another. If you're taking notes, draw a triangle. I do this for our, when I do premarital counseling, Brother Tyler and Sister Kayla, will tell you that. That's how them just came in. Draw a triangle, and at the very top of that triangle, put God or Jesus at the very top of your triangle. You're drawing a triangle. God, I'm talking about fellowship, I'm talking about benefits of walking in the light. God is at the top of the triangle, and then at the bottom, on one part of the bottom, put your name, and then at the other part, put others. And if you look at that triangle, God and Jesus are at the top of the triangle. You're at one end and other people are on the other. You get great fellowship and you intersect in God and in Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. You intersect in the Lord. You fellowship with the Lord. You fellowship one with the other. There it is. That resolves all this split stuff in the Christian church. If we truly walking in the light, if you walking in the light and I'm walking, I don't care what political party you belong to. I don't care where you go to school. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how much money you make or how much money you don't make. If you're walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, if we're walking with Jesus, guess what? We have fellowship one with another. I said we have koinonia. We have fellowship one with another. Why? Because we have God in common. We in fellowship with Jesus. And so that means you and I can have fellowship one with another. But if we're not really have fellowship with the Lord, if we're not really connected to Him like we should be, yeah, we're going to have problems connecting with one another. Let me say that again. We're not connected with the Lord like we should, but you have problems connecting one with another. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. This whole lack of fellowship thing amongst the Christians would be resolved if we all were really walking in the light. Y'all with me this morning? Another thing, another benefit. There's so many benefits to walking in the light. So make sure you're in the light and not in darkness this morning. Make sure you're not in the church, but still in darkness. Make sure that you're in the light this morning. Another great benefit to walking in the light is right there in verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship also with God, with Jesus. And, somebody say and. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're in the light, if you're walking with Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you, cleanses me from all sin. Now, some of y'all are not rejoicing correctly there because we still have a wrong view of sin. And I'm going to deal with that just in a moment, kind of like Deacon Beasley. I was kind of teasing him earlier. He did a great job teaching us this morning during Sunday Blast. We meet collectively the first Sunday of every month. Either he teaches or Minister Terman teaches or Minister Bray teaches. And yeah, let me do an announcement. Church does really start at 9:30. I know some of y'all missed that. We start at 9:30. Y'all catch us, some catch us around 10 or 10:30, 11:30. But you know, I'm glad you're here, but we start at 9:30. But many of the verses that he shared earlier, he was talking about really, we need to be conformed to the Lord and not be transformed. He's talking about the heart of man and sinfulness. Many of the verses that he shared, I'm going to share here just in a moment. So I was teasing. I said, well, either you were looking at my notes or I was looking at your notes. And I said, wait a minute. We're studying from the same book. We're in the same book. So the message should be kind of similar, right? I know we got different topics we cover, but we're from the same book. But listen, this thing about sin, S-I-N, in the culture that we live in today, we've dumbed it down sin so much so. Look at what verse 8 and verse 10 said. I'm going to read those two verses together, and then we're going to come back to verse 9 for the solution. But look at verse 8 and verse 10, and this is kind of what has happened in our culture as it relates to sin, even in the church. Listen, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. It's easy to be self-deceived. Let me call one quick witness and I'm going to move on. The rich young ruler. He was a religious type of guy, right? I mean, he comes to Jesus, which is a good thing. He comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, he said, Master, good master. And he said, wait a minute. Why are you calling me good? Only one good is God. So he's going to have to acknowledge I am. If I'm good, that means I'm God. And so he said, what must I do, the rich young ruler, to inherit eternal life? That's a very good question, Mother Moore. What must I do to make sure I don't go to hell, but I go to heaven? What must I do? And then Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. And then Jesus listed some of the commandments. And listen, here's how we can be self-deceived. We know this encounter. Listen to what he says to Jesus. He said, well, Jesus, I keep all those commandments. Good thing me or you weren't the Lord. I would have nailed him right there. I said, man, you lying. You don't keep all the commandments. But now Jesus saw his heart. So Jesus, okay, I'll let that slide, so to speak. You got a lot of stuff, which was really his God. Jesus, go and get rid of all that stuff, mother law, and come back and follow me. The Bible said he went away sad. See, he was self-deceived. He thought he was okay. He thought he was straight. He thought he was all right with God. So John says, don't be deceived. John said, if you're talking about you don't sin and you have no sin, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. So John is saying to the Christian, yeah, you got some sin issues to deal with. Yeah, I got some sin issues to deal with. Verse 10, he says it again a slightly different way. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we're okay. We're kind of like the rich young ruler. We're okay. If we say that we have not sinned, we say, hey, we make him a liar, make the Lord a liar, and his word is not in us. John said, wait a minute. If the word of God is in you, it's going to show you got some sin in your life. You know, you ever just start reading the Bible? So I want to try to be safe today, so I'm going to go to like a quote-unquote safe place of the Bible. I'm going to read through here. I might be all right. You get to read. Next thing you know, the Bible still shows you some stuff in your life. You need to straighten out. Like, man, I thought I was going to get off the hook today. I mean, so John is saying, hey, if you say you don't sin, you're not reading the Bible. You, God's word is not in you. Because he shows us as we read the word of God, as the word of God is preached, it does several things. It rebukes us. It corrects us. It shows us our shortcomings. It shows us our sin. But it also encourages us. Also gives us remedies. Contextual background. The false prophets, the false teachers during John's day and also even today, they were trying to, so to speak, minimize sin. They were trying to explain away sin. Some of these false teachers were even acting as if sin did not exist. It was kind of like the beginning of this heresy that we call Gnosticism. They were trying to act as if sin doesn't really exist. That shouldn't really surprise us because look at who their leaders, look what he did. The devil, Satan, when he rolled up on Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, the first thing he said, did God really say? And then he started talking about, you can go ahead and eat a little of that fruit. Don't worry about that. You know, God, he holding back. He holding out on y'all. So there he is. He's minimizing sin. He's minimizing the importance of obeying God. So the devil, he's been doing that from the beginning. So surely the false prophets, the false teachers, they're going to do the same thing. They're saying, oh, don't worry about sin. You know, we say it today, but we say it kind of differently as we interact with one another. People say stuff like, I'm talking about sin, and sin is an issue in all of our lives. We'll say stuff like, Sister Gunn, we'll say stuff like, well, you know, nobody's perfect. God understands. You got all those things. It's really no big deal. Don't worry about that. I mean, you know, you just said two or three curse words, but that person over there, they said 100 curse words. But that person over there, they ain't the standard. Let me say that again. That person over there, he or she ain't the standard. So we say all that. It's just a little thing. No, it's sin. S-I-N. Let's just call it what it is. I made a little mistake. I messed up. No, you sin. You sin. You sin. Because if you say you don't sin, you lying. That's another, you just added another sin to your list right there. Lying. So we say that stuff though in today's culture. You know, everything is okay. You know, you're all right. Y'all Christians, y'all take it too far. But let's see what God says about sin before we get to verse 9, the remedy for sin. We read that in verse 7 too, the remedy, the blood of Christ. Jesus, God says this in Genesis 6, 5 and 7. I'm just going to read these to you kind of quickly. Just some examples of what the Bible, Brother Chris, says about sin. So we gotta have a biblical worldview of sin, not a worldly view of sin. You know, the world says, once again, it's not that big of a deal. Especially, watch it. Especially if you already say you're a Christian, you're going to heaven anyway. You can just, live life. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you're walking in the light, you got a deepening hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yes, we do sin. You sin. Yes, we do stumble. But your desire as a Christian is, I want to please God. I want to please Jesus. Listen what the Lord says in Genesis 6 about the human heart and our condition as it relates to sin. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, oftentimes when we're talking to people, especially people who are maybe not Christians, we start at the wrong place. They put the human heart up here too high. Well, you know, everybody's pretty good. Everybody got some good. Yeah, well, yeah, everybody probably got some good and bad in them. But let's look at this thing biblically. Most of us, our hearts are messed up. Let me say it different. All of us, our hearts definitely were messed up. That's why we had to get a heart transplant. That's why we had to be born again. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's why we had to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. You're a religious leader. You're leading the church. But still, you got to be born again, Nick. So God says that the heart of man was evil continually. So the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. Because of the wickedness and the sinfulness of me and you, of mankind, of the human heart. Jeremiah 17:9, I often quote that. You all know that. Y'all probably say that one with me. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. It's desperately wicked, deceitful. Who can understand it? Who can understand the heart? You know, sometimes does a thought ever just come in your mind and you just say something before you even think, like, man, why did I say that? Where did that come from? Who can understand the heart? God, you got to guard this heart. Romans 1:28-31. Listen to this. Talking about darkness or light. Which one are you in? Listen to this. This is one of the more exhaustive lists of sin in all of the Bible. And what had happened in Romans 1, man had pretty much turned their back on God. Even though Romans 1, of course, we know that Paul even says, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. And God even talks about how even nature itself said it screams out, there is a God. But many had turned their backs on God. I said, okay, God, now you're okay. We're going to do our own thing. Romans 1:28-31 says this, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, that's a very tenuous place to be, to not acknowledge God, to act as if God does not exist. So since they didn't acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over, listen to this, saints, to a reprobate or deprived and depraved mind. To do those things which are not proper. If God didn't restrain us, if God just turned us over to our regular way of thinking, guess what? We would fit into all this list I'm about to read. You better be thankful that God restrains us. I'm glad that God restrains me. He put some boundaries on the child of God. It's just some stuff he won't allow us to do. It says this. They were filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. Yes, they are. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. Just coming up with wicked stuff. Inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. That's a list, saints. But these are the things that naturally flow out of our hearts, if not for the restraint of God. Again, you and I are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Again, that's why we had to be born again. That's why we had to walk in the light. You gotta practice walking in the light so that the evil deeds of your heart and my heart would be exposed. We got to walk in the light. We got to stay in the light. Then he says, Jesus said it this way in Mark 7:21-23. I think Deacon Beasley read that one this morning as well. Jesus said it this way in Mark 7. He said, for from within, out of the heart of man. Now I know culture and all that stuff, the way you were raised, your environment, all those things are factors. But the main factor goes right in here. It's inside of you and inside of me. The main factor towards the way I act. Jesus says, out of the heart of men, out of the heart of women, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Jesus said, all these evil things proceed, where they come from, Jesus? From within, and defile the man. So we got a messed up inside. We got a messed up heart. We got a messed up heart. Romans 3 said, there is none who seek after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. No, not one. You all know the count in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I mean, they started at 50 and went down to 40 and 30, 10. They couldn't even find 10 righteous in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. Couldn't find 10. Noah, as he was building that boat for 120 years and talking and preaching and praying, the only converts, the only one was Miss Noah, his three sons and their three wives. Eight people out of all the creation, eight people are the only one who listened to the message of God. The heart of man. We need help. We need the Lord. We need Jesus. We need help. You gotta make sure you come into that light and following the light rather than the darkness. Romans 3:23 says it again, all have sinned. Y'all can say that with me. Say that with me. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have. And as I often say, and I heard others say, in Greek, all means all. It means everybody. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But here's a shout. Here's a shout. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. All of us have sinned. All of us have messed up. All of us deserve to go to hell. All of us deserve to experience the wrath of God. All of us deserve to be separated from the love and the grace and the mercy of God. All of us. But God being rich in mercy, the Bible says his free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Lord. You can't tell me that's not a good God. So you can't tell me that's not a, we don't serve a good God. I deserve to be separated from him in a terrible place called a lake of fire. You deserve to be separated from him in a terrible place called a lake of fire. But God being rich in mercy, as Ephesians 2:4 tells us, by grace we have been saved. By grace, God's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it lest anyone should boast. So are you walking in the light or in the darkness? The deeds of the flesh, the deeds of walking in darkness are evident. We just read some of those. So you want to make sure that you're hanging out in the light and not in the darkness. But look at what he tells in verse 9, and then I'm through. Because really, he's made the argument in verse 8 and 10 that, hey, you do sin. You do have sin. The whole Bible shows us that. So then verse 9 says, here it is. If we confess our sins. Oh, I love that. If we confess our sins. If we just confess our sins. What is confession? Confession, basically, if you're taking notes, confess just basically means agree with God. Confess means to say the same thing about sin that God says about sin. Confess it. Don't be talking about, well, you know, that was just a little mistake. You know, No. Confess it. Agree with God. God, you're right. I blew it. I've been holding this unforgiveness in my heart forever. I blew it. God, yeah, I blew it. I lost my religion, as some people would say, and I used some words I should not have been using. Lord, I sinned, I envied, I lusted, Lord, I sinned, I have hatred in my heart. Whatever it is, saints, the Bible says, if we just confess our sins, just agree with God about that issue called sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. I'm going to pause there for a moment. He is faithful. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, permit me to say, that's a very good deal. If we just agree with God, I don't know what we'd be trying to do. You can't fool and trick God anyway. Somebody walk by and you don't really like them. You know, you kind of hating them in your heart. You act like God don't know you. Yeah, I really like them. I love them. And you know, deep down, you can't fool. You can fool me. You might can fool other preachers. Or you can fool some of us. But you can't fool God. I love this brother by the name of Bill Spencer. He's with the Lord now. He walked closely with the Lord. I was blessed to kind of be discipled by him for a period of time. And he used to say things like, God just wants us to be real with him. He just wants us to be real with him. You know, to just say what's in your heart and mind. God understands. God understands. That was with them leaving, prompted me, pray. They go into a funeral. Pray for a Carl, I think, what's his name, the brother that came and we prayed with last week. A man by the name of Carl who lost his wife, and then later that day lost his mother. So be praying for him. We had a chance to pray with them last week. So be praying for that family as they buried his mother today. But God wants us to be real with him. Confess, agree with God. God, you're right. I shouldn't have been thinking that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. God, you're right. But look at that trade-off. God said, if you just confess your sins, I mean, God said, I am faithful. How many of y'all know that God, we just celebrated that 2 weeks ago about the 20 years of faithfulness to this church. God is faithful. God said, you can trust me. I'm faithful to forgive you of your sins. Watch this. And to cleanse you of all, not some, but to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. See, as a Christian, if you're talking about walking in the light, you can't be carrying around any unconfessed sin in your life. You know, number one, if you belong to Jesus, he gonna keep putting the spotlight on it. You're gonna try to ignore it, I looked the other way. Now you're gonna keep putting that light on it, and eventually you're gonna say, okay, God, you're right. I need to confess that thing. And sometimes it's just between you and God, but sometimes it may, entail going to some others. But God said, if you just confess your sin, I'm faithful. Check me out. Try me out. I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I said nothing. I said nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's nothing like keeping short accounts with God. That's what he's calling me and you to do. If we're walking in the light, again, he's shining that light in our lives, and he wants us to keep short accounts with him. Short accounts with him. So confess it. He is faithful. And now see, also, I remember when I was working at TVA, this Christian lady who had a big impact on other people's lives, and she was kind of discipling this one lady, and this lady told her that, as a Christian, because sometimes, we sin, and it blindsides her. But sometimes you can premeditate sin. Y'all know what premeditation is, right? You plan it out beforehand. So she was talking about this lady that she was kind of working with, and this lady said, she kind of map out, I'm going to go do this. Planning sin. And she told my friend, said, well, that's what 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible for. I said, no, she got mistaught there somewhere. It ain't like just a catch all. So I'm going to go sin, then I'm going to ask for forgiveness. No, that's something is wrong there somewhere. Matter of fact, Jesus, look at what Jesus said about sin in Matthew 5:29. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, Jesus said, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now people, I'm talking about, well, why y'all talking about hell? Well, Jesus talked about hell a lot. Jesus tried to warn us, don't go there, don't come down this road. That's a loving person. Say, hey, if I'm going the wrong way, please tell me, Sister Candace, don't go that way, go another way. So Jesus, in his love for us, Brother Jackie, he often told us, hey, don't go to hell. You don't want to go that way. So Jesus is basically saying, whatever's causing you to get in darkness, whatever causing you not to live holy, Jesus, whatever you need to do, you need to do that. Whatever drastic move you need to make, you need to do that. You need to do that, Jesus is saying. Again, if we just confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matter of fact, if you're walking in the light, Jesus said, I'll take your sin and I'll cast it into the sea of forgiveness. He said, I'll remove it from you as far as the east is from the west. And guess what? The east and the west never meet, right? If you're walking in the light, you can be assured. You can be assured that there is therefore now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are walking in the light. There are benefits to walking in the light. I said there are benefits to walking in the light. There are benefits to walking in the light. I love the light much better than the darkness. So Jesus said, confess your sins. See, confession and repentance are friends to the Christian. Confession and repentance of sin are friends to the person who's walking in the light. It's like you want to quickly confess, because when we have unconfessed sin in our life, once again, you don't lose your salvation, but it does hinder the fellowship. It hinders the relationship. Let's just look at the earthly, just use the earthly example. You can have somebody in your family or maybe one of your best buddies or whatever, and some strife come up in that thing and a little argument come up on that thing, and don't loan anybody some money. I don't even do that. I'm glad my dad years ago taught me. He said, son, don't loan money. That's what he told me. He said, don't loan money. He said, if somebody need money, you know him, you like him, whatever, just give him the money. If you can't afford to give it to him, better keep it in your pocket. Because you're going to be talking about next week, man, what that $30 I gave you last week, man. So you best believe if you loan somebody some money, you expect to get the money back. They don't give you the money back. That's going to cause some friction in that relationship. So all I'm saying, as a Christian, if we allow things that fester or come into our lives that hinder our walking with the Lord, that's going to cause some friction in that relationship. So that's why we need to confess our sins, agree with God, repent of whatever that thing is, or those things are, and turn back and begin to follow him. Leave you with this example as we get ready to go to the supper table. I'm talking about light or darkness. There are benefits, of course, to walking in the light. First benefit is you have fellowship with Christ. You have fellowship with God. And we have fellowship one with another. But also as we walk in the light, verse 7 tells us, as we walk in the light, listen, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light and we just confess our sin, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. When I think about that cleansing, I think of several things. I think, of course, of some type of cleansing agent, some type of, like, I'm at our house, I'm the dishes man. I clean up the dishes and put them in the dishwasher, and the girls have to unload the dishwasher. So, you know, when you got those pots, you can't just throw the pot in the dishwasher. That doesn't work. You gotta get an SOS pad, a Brillo pad or something, and you gotta scrub a little bit to cleanse that, brother and sister Rucker, to get it right. Then put it in the pot. Guess what? A lot of us got some stuff in our lives. Christ has to come and scrub, and he has to remove that stuff to get that stuff out of us. I also think of this. When I think about verse 9, about how as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of some unrighteousness. Okay, y'all still with me, all right? All unrighteousness. I think about this growing up. Now we have quite a few educators. Who are all our educators in the house? Our teachers, our principals, our ex-teachers. We got a lot of educators. Amen. My mother was an educator. She taught school for many years. And when I was in school... Now, you were kind of late, Sister Bray. You raised your hand kind of late. And I would love in elementary school, I don't even really know exactly how they do this now, but in elementary school, they used to have a blackboard. They call it the blackboard. And, you know, you'd have to chalk. I used to love to write on the blackboard. Because you go to the blackboard with the chalk, and if you make a mistake, you get the eraser, and you can start all over again. Y'all with me? I used to love doing that. When I look at verse 9, I think about your life and my life. We're like that piece of chalk. And the blackboard, if you will, is kind of like our life. And in our life, we've had some messed up stuff on the blackboard of life. We've messed up some stuff. We've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank God there is an eraser. I said there is an eraser. We see it in verse 7 and verse 9. It's the blood of the cross. It's the blood of Christ. The eraser can remove and did remove all of my mess ups, your mess ups. He put us in back right relationship with him because he has that eraser called the blood of Christ. That's one of the benefits of walking in the light. Because you can go to Christ. And he can come with his human eraser, if you will. He can come with his blood. And he wipes over your mess ups and my mess ups. Benefits of walking in the light. There are great benefits to walking in the light. I said there are great benefits to walking in the light. Because listen, as I finish, we not only need Christ for salvation, and we do, Brother Tyler, we need him for salvation. You can't have him without, you can't have salvation, for there is salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. But we not only need him for salvation, we also need him for sanctification. You know, when you come to Christ, he sets you apart. But as you begin to grow, we call it progressive sanctification. I mean, just like I need Jesus for salvation, I need him every day for holy living. I need him every day for sanctification. I need him every day. I need his light to show me the right way to go. Because if not, if left on my own accord, even as a Christian, even as a pastor, if left on my own accord, I mess up every time. I take the wrong direction, be all confused. Sometimes trying to do the right thing, but still doing the wrong thing. So we need the Lord for not only salvation, we need him for sanctification. We need him for daily living. We need him, of course, for justification. He has declared us righteous. So light or darkness, make sure you walk in the light. Make sure you've been cleansed and are being cleansed and have been forgiven and are being forgiven. It's an ongoing experience. It's a one time. Listen, this might sound kind of almost like a mutually exclusive, but this thing about walking with the Lord, it's a one time and an ongoing experience. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you today. We thank you, dear God, for your great love toward us. We thank you for you sending Jesus to live this life in Christ. You even said you've come to seek and to save those who are lost. And then you said you didn't come to be served, but you've come to serve others. And then you went to Calvary's cross, died on that old rugged cross, shed your blood. The blood that we just read in verse 7, your blood, dear Jesus, it cleanses us from all sin.